The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Hello and welcome to the Wednesday edition of Grace in Focus. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Now, currently we're taking questions from listeners not so unlike yourself. So if you've got a question, you can send it to us, radio@faithalone.org. Here's the primary question we're going to tackle today. It's this: is confession of sin really required in the life of a believer? What a good question. And Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar are going to take away this discussion.
Hey, welcome to Grace in Focus, and thank you for listening, especially if you're listening every day. We highly encourage that, and I get a kick out of hearing people who tell me, hey, I listen to you guys every day. It's just part of my habit, and I want to send out a shout out to Peter Klippa, who I got to meet in Tampa recently.
Oh, yeah.
So thanks. It was good to have lunch with you, Pete. And are you ready to take questions?
Let's do it.
Questions on the Bible and theology. Here's one from John. And John says, I need your assistance with a better understanding of 1 John 1, 8 and 9. I attend a church that teaches confession is not required in the life of a believer. But am I missing something? I was taught, and I very much rely on 1 John and believe that confession is for the continued fellowship and filling of the Holy Spirit. Please help me understand the true colors of confession in the Christian's daily walk. And that's from John.
Yeah, let me mention, this is very close to home for me. First of all, I came to faith through the ministry of Campus Crusade for Christ. And Campus Crusade for Christ had a very strong role of confession in the Christian life.
Okay.
We called it spiritual breathing. You exhaled your sins, you inhaled the filling of the Spirit.
Oh, wow.
It played a pivotal role. It was confusing for many people because many people thought, well, you're giving the Holy Spirit total control of your life. And if you were, why'd you ever sin?
Yeah.
In other words, if the Holy Spirit ever took total control of my life, that'd be my last time I sinned.
Right.
But there was a little confusion there, but they were very solid on the fact that 1 John 1:9 is a pivotal verse for fellowship with God, ongoing fellowship. And I might say I was in a church. I was actually first the pastor of the church while I was in the doctoral program. Then I left and came back and became an elder at that same church. And the new pastor ultimately adopted this position John is talking about here, that confession is not necessary in the Christian life.
Okay.
And so in the view this pastor was presenting, Christians are always in fellowship with God no matter what. Confession is legalistic in his mind. That's a sort of legalistic practice, and it led to some really odd situations. But why don't we read 1 John 1:7 through 9 and talk about that?
Sure. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin.
Now, I might comment there, that is very similar to John chapter 13 and the foot washing experience. Peter says, oh, you're not going to wash my feet. Jesus said, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part with me, no fellowship with me.
So that tells you right away, this isn't about Peter's personal hygiene.
Right.
Something more was going on.
But then here. Jesus said, the one who is clean does not need his whole body washed, but he needs his feet cleaned. And he says, and you are clean, but not all of you, in reference to Judas. Clean means that in that verse, also in John 15, it means someone who has been forgiven of their sins, someone who has been cleansed spiritually, so that they're right with God. And I think the context here is they're clean in a positional sense, but they need fellowship forgiveness, they need fellowship cleansing in order to have an ongoing fellowship with Jesus. That's in John 13. It's also here in 1 John 1:7.
Okay.
And what's interesting about verse 7, it doesn't say if we confess our sins, well, then the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. It's if we walk in the light.
Yeah.
Verse 7 is talking about the light of God's revelation. Basically, what it's saying is if we're part of a local assembly where God's word is being clearly taught, then we're walking in the light, and the blood of Jesus is cleansing us from all sin. However, verse 7 is intimately tied with verses 8 and 9.
Verse 8, if we say we have no sin, We deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
Okay, so a denial of sin is a statement of the fact that we're not walking in the light. We're not walking in the truth, because the light reveals sin. And by the way, there's three false statements in verses 6, 8, and 10.
Okay.
If we say, if we say, if we say, and all of them are false statements.
Okay.
We're just looking at one in verse 8. But then verse 9 now goes to the idea of confessing the sin. We don't deny it. That would be 1:8. We confess it, verse 9.
So who would say they have no sin?
Well, 1:8 says, if we say we have no sin, and 1:10 says, if we say we have not sinned. Mm-hmm. And so verse 8, most commentators say, has to do with my present experience. It's not saying I haven't sinned in years. It's saying I am in a sinless experience that's been going on for some undisclosed amount of time.
And so that person is, what he says here, deceived.
He's deceived. But the same, worse, or the same, I guess you could say, would be verse 10. If we say we have not sinned. I've met people like that. I know you have too.
Yeah.
Where they claim the sinless perfection.
Yes.
That's a deception. But verse 9, why don't you read that one? Because that's a very powerful corrective.
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Okay, notice the repetition of cleansing that we saw in verse 7. The word confess means to agree, to say the same thing.
I know people, when they hear the word confession, they think about what you'd see on TV or movies, or maybe if you're Catholic, you go to a Catholic church and you walk into the booth, the confessional, and you're, you say to the priest, you know, forgive me, Father, for I have sinned, and it's been such and such a time since my last confession. And it's very ritualized.
Right.
It involves saying what you did to the priest, and then he'll give you, absolution and maybe some penance to do.
Right, but notice here, there is no priest.
But that is not biblical confession.
No, we're to confess directly to God. We're to acknowledge this to him. And if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins.
And basically, you're saying that to confess is just to agree.
You're acknowledging it.
Acknowledging the sin that you
have. As you see sin in your life, you confess this sin. Now, of course, this is all within the context of walking in the light. This isn't somebody who never goes to church and isn't in God's Word, and God's Word isn't in him, and he's just got some kind of ritualistic, when I'm aware of sin, I confess it, and somehow I continue in fellowship. No, this is part of walking in the light.
Okay.
And by the way, Zane Hodges had an interesting illustration. He said, imagine you have a white suit on, but you've walked through some mud and it's gotten some mud on the back of your suit, but you can't see it. Well, as you are in a very brightly lit room, you may notice, oh, wait a minute, there's some mud on the front of my white suit.
Mm-hmm.
What he pointed out is, I confess the sin I see, and God cleanses me from all unrighteousness.
So you see the sin on the front of your pants, and God cleanses you from the mud that's on the back of your jacket.
That you don't see. Lots of times you've heard the expression tip of the iceberg.
Yes.
I think that's true with confession of sins. A lot of people have I think it's a naive notion that when we confess our sins, we're confessing all of them. If God ever revealed to us everything that was wrong with us, I think we'd have nervous breakdowns.
Right.
That's not only true at the beginning of our Christian lives, but I think it's true when we've walked with Jesus for 20, 30, 40 years. We're still people who fall short of the glory of God. We're still people who God's not finished with yet. And so this forgiveness is fellowship forgiveness. We already have cleansing, a total forgiveness, but this is a fellowship forgiveness. And notice it says, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, that is the ones we confess, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That includes the sins on the back of our outfit.
So what is that cleansing? Is it more just a judicial thing, like he wipes your slate clean, or is it something you experience, like you no longer have a desire for that sin anymore, or what is it?
Well, you asked the tough question. I don't know exactly. The idea here is that as we acknowledge our sins, we're clean before God. So I take it, and it specifically talks about forgiveness. So the cleansing is linked with forgiveness and fellowship. So I would say that there's no breakdown in fellowship between us and God as long as John the questioner is pointing out, we are right. open with God about our sin.
So how often should someone confess?
That's a great question. It seems to me it is a grave mistake to think I pick some time once a week, maybe just before church starts,
right.
and I confess all my sins.
Yeah.
Or once a day, I'm going to bed and I think through the day and I confess all my sins.
Right.
I confess my sins the moment I'm aware of them.
Right.
I'm driving down the road and I get road rage. I confess it to the Lord. I acknowledge it. I move on.
Right.
You do not allow sins to accumulate and then try to confess them later.
Right.
That's silly.
I'm going to save them up until I go see the priest on the weekend right before
right.
taking communion.
And besides,
that's not God's way.
That's a misunderstanding of what confession is. Confession is agreeing with God
yeah.
that this is sin.
Yeah.
It's the kind of thing that occurs almost spontaneously with the one who's walking in the light. I have a wrong attitude, a wrong action, and Lord, I acknowledge that. And it isn't even a matter of how sorry I am about it. Of course, there's sorrow associated with sin, but the point is I don't try to gin up how sorry I need to be.
And your feelings are not at stake here. God isn't going to only forgive you or cleanse you based on you notching up your feelings to level 10.
Absolutely right.
He looks at the confession. Do you agree? Do you acknowledge that what you did is sin?
Right. You're walking in the light. You realize there's some dirt on your garments. You confess what you see, and God cleanses you from all unrighteousness. So, John, hang in there. You can hear teaching in your church that's sometimes wrong. And it's even wrong on a major point like this. Now, if you're in a church like that, you might want to consider leaving. That's ultimately what I did. I stepped down as an elder from that church and left because I felt that even though they were clear on the free gift of everlasting life, this was too big of an issue to live with. You may feel that way, you may not, but you need to pray about that. And so I would encourage each one of you to realize the importance of walking in the light and confessing our sins, because this is a vital part of our daily Christian experience.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Maybe you'd like to go deeper on the subjects that we cover in this show. And if that's the case, we would love for you to come visit us at our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our site, we have free magazine subscription. We have teaching videos, podcasts, blog posts, all kinds of free materials that are designed to help you grow and mature in your understanding of Scripture and faith. So come visit us at faithalone.org, faithalone.org. This show and all of our ministries are made possible from the generous donations of listeners just like you. I hope that you might consider becoming a financial partner with the Grace Evangelical Society. If so, you can find out how on faithalone.org. We love to hear from listeners just like you. Maybe you've got a question or a comment or some feedback. If you do, we want to hear from you. So here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about living daily for Christ, so join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.